Let's pray. Let's pray as we get into God's Word. Father, thank you for this morning again. And as we look into your Word, I ask that you would encourage us and help each of us on our journeys. There are all kinds of journeys in life, this past week, this past year, this coming week, and the coming year. We don't know, but Jesus, you're our foundation, and we're asking you to help us. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Speak to us. We're listening. Amen. Can I encourage us, especially as young parents? I remember a number of years ago, and I've said this before, that there was a couple of parents that said to me, "Oh, I love this age of being young, but I'm really fearful of my kids being teenagers." I was a youth pastor at the time many years ago. And I'm going, "Oh man, we loved, as our kids came into the teen years, we loved the teen years." And so I want to encourage us to look with hope to every stage. Don't regret them, always. Now, somebody said this earlier this week, which kind of shocked me. I don't know if it's true, but I feel like it may be true. That in your whole life, when you're raising kids, by the time they reach 12 years of age, you will have spent 75% of your time with them already. Did you get that? By the time kids are 12, you will, as a parent, have already spent 75% of your time with them. Wow. By the time they're 17, you will have spent 95% of your time as parents with them. I've been thinking about that this week. And I'm going, "Oh yeah, our kids are adults now, and a couple of them have their own kids." And I'm going, "Yeah, the chances that we have to be with our older kids are fewer and fewer times, because we live a little bit apart from each other." And so I'm going, "Wow, that's crazy." So parents of younger children, grab the time you can. Make the time. So that is a good challenge for us. All right, don't worry. Be family. You've heard that. I think Forrest Gump came out with it. Maybe somebody before that. You know, don't worry, be happy. It doesn't always work, does it? Everyone is looking for peace in this world. Whether that's on the world stage, all the wars and stuff going around the world, the political turmoil, everybody's talking about peace. Everybody's demonstrating for peace. We're looking for peace in our places of work and school. Sometimes there's conflict going on, and we're looking for peace. Maybe in our homes. If there could just be a little bit of peace in our homes, in our relationships, even in our hearts, everyone is looking for peace. Oh, we love the activity. We love what's all going on in our lives, but there's different moments in our life, maybe even daily, where we're looking for a little bit of peace. God's peace is crucial in all of life's circumstances. If you have your Bibles here, or you can follow on the screens, I want to take you to two verses in Philippians. And I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't do justice to it. So I just want to focus on these two verses. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't worry about everything or anything. Don't worry about anything. Okay, we're done. Have you ever had anyone walk up to you and go, "Don't worry, be happy"? Does that work? Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Does that work? nod with me, right? That actually doesn't work. Just for somebody to say, don't worry, it'll be fine, doesn't help. And the Apostle Paul is saying the same thing. He's going, I know it doesn't help. And he carries on. Because there's a semicolon there. It says, instead, pray about everything. Okay, good, we're done. Okay, just pray. How many of you have done that and it's not really helping? You can admit that. Sometimes we pray and it does nothing. We can admit that. But the Apostle Paul is going, yeah, it's a little more than that. It's not complicated, but it is a little more than that. He goes, tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Tell Him what you need. Tell Him what you need. Telling. Sharing with Him. Unloading with Him. Being frustrated. Being anxious. All of those words and feelings and emotions need to come out. You see, what happens is we often think, well, just praying, we just pray, oh God, fix this. And then we hope that's all it is. There's more to us being human just than that. With any struggle that's going on in our life, any worrying, in particular as we're thinking about parenting, we hit a wall with something. There's more going on in our life and heart than meets the eye. How many of you, how are you this morning? Fine. Meanwhile, there's all kinds of stuff going on inside. And the Apostle Paul is saying, tell God everything. Tell Him what you need. Open up your heart. Share your emotion with Him. That's why one of the things I love is journaling. Actually writing it down. This is what's going on in my life. How many of us at 2 in the morning are waking up and you're worried and you've got something going on and you just stay there for another half hour, 45 minutes. And what's it doing? It's still going. You're not solving anything. Often our minds are like racquetball courts. I think I've shared this before, and I want to remind us. Our thoughts bounce around in our minds, but in a racquetball court, the ball never gets out of that room. It just stays in there, bouncing side to side, back to front. It just keeps going, and that's the same thing in our minds. Is that thought, that worry, that anxiousness, that problem in parenting, in relationships, lack of peace, just keeps bouncing around. And what you need to do is you take it either, oh, looking for somebody's mom. There we go. So what happens is, it bounces around in your mind. And what you have to do is you have to take it out of your mind. Get it out of there. And part of that is by either talking to somebody about it, or at 2 in the morning, your spouse or whatever doesn't want to hear about it because they're sleeping. But you write it down. You take it, just that simple act of saying, God, this is what bugs me. This is what I'm feeling. This is what worries me. Put it all down on paper. Get it out of your mind. And it's amazing how that, because we just regurgitate it. We just let it go around like a gopher on a wheel. Gopher on a hamster? Gopher? Whatever. It just goes around and around. You wonder what? Where's the solution? Put it on paper. Find it. Rip it up later if you need to. But write, get it out of our mind. Tell God what you need. This is what's going on. Tell Him what you want. And then it says, and then thank Him. See, now what happens in the middle of a distressful time is we start getting worried, and then, well, we are worried and anxious, and we start having those thoughts, those doubts, this will never be solved. Have you ever Have you ever worried so much that the problem actually morphs? So you're thinking at 2 a.m. about this thought, and all of a sudden it starts getting bigger and bigger and big, and pretty soon you're going through all kinds of scenarios of what could happen. Now you're even more worried. And what Paul is saying about what God wants you to do is pray about it. Write it all down, and then start thanking Him. I love the phrase. Do we get hysterical, or do we get historical? Do we get hysterical, or do we get historical? Do we freak out and get all anxious? Yes, we do. But this is where we need to be historical. And we go back and say, okay, God, remind me of where you've actually come through for me. Remind me of all the blessings. And that's what he says here. He says, then be thankful. Tell God what you need, and then thank Him for all He has done. All He's done. To remind us all that you've done. And that's why sometimes we've done that. I've asked you to write down lists. 5 things you're thankful for. If you're really worried, 10 things. If you're super worried, 15. Whatever it is, what can I thank Him for? Okay, I can thank Him for the decaf coffee I'm drinking right now at 2 a.m. Okay? I can thank Him for this house. I can thank Him that I have God with me. I can thank Him for all kinds of different things. And you'll see that as you develop that list, as you write it down, as you're thankful, you begin to calm. That's what he's saying. If all we do is just stay with the problem, then that's all it is. It stays with the problem, but then we begin to see that God is in the middle of it and He can help. As we see what He's done, we get historical, He'll help us in the future. This is where it's so, so good to actually have a God who loves us and cares for us so much. I don't know how I would live life without God in my life, without Jesus in my life. It's so important to have somebody outside. It's one thing to have a wife that I can talk with, or my kids, or friends and family. But God is always available to me. Jesus is always right there, just a short prayer away that I can unload with Him. Some things I can unload with Him that maybe I can't unload with anyone else. But I can unload with Jesus. And that's the hope, the sure hope that we have, that God loves you, Jesus loves you. And He wants a relationship with every one of us, with me, so that we can come to Him. It's so good. And then he goes on, then you will experience God's peace as we calm ourselves. Now, it's not a one-time thing, right? Good, I prayed and I'll move on. It may mean many more things. And here, that's a whole other sermon. But sometimes God allows problems and struggles in parenting or whatever to come to us to pull us closer to Him. But we have to decide, are we going to run from God, or are we going to use this moment to come closer to God? God, you're drawing me. This is a problem. I'm going to run to you. And so then as we run to God, we will experience God's peace that exceeds anything we can understand. Most problems are never solved right now. They're not. But we need that peace to continue to walk through whatever the struggle is. Some struggles last for years. They go on for years. Some are solved next week. Some are solved tomorrow. But we still need the peace of God each day and each week to help us as we're walking through it. That's the only thing that will get us through. It's what's important. Now, how do we do this practically? And I've shared this with you before. And it's called STAR. What do? We're trying to be thankful, but okay, so this is what we do. STAR. So you're in a panicking mode. You stop. Say with me, stop. Stop. Then you take a breath. Take a breath. Say that. Take a breath. Stop. Take a breath. Everybody take a breath. Now, often what happens is it's better to take through your nose. Breathe in through your nose. And then out through your mouth. Now, you may need to do that 3 or 4 times. And what that does, physiologically, in our body, when we take a breath, it slows our heartbeat down. It calms us on the inside. So sometimes you'll have people just say, well, take a breath already. No, no, no. Well, there's wisdom there, but we need to stop. Take a breath. A few of them, just calm down. And then the A stands for appreciate Jesus. And so then we go towards Jesus and say, what do you want to say to me? Where can I be thankful here? I'm just calming myself in peace. Too many of us just run, hoping for God to throw his peace on us. He won't necessarily do that. He may, but we need to place ourselves with God to stop. Take a breath, appreciate Jesus, and then respond. A number of years ago, I remember I was driving down Main Street when I was a youth pastor, a pastor in Steinbeck. I was driving down Main Street, and I come across, just before a big major intersection, two lanes, major intersection in Steinbeck, and I'm coming up and I'm seeing there's a body right across the lane, lying down right in front as I'm coming up. I'm going, well, as I get closer, it looks like a woman is just lying there face down. What's going on? So I pulled my truck up and blocked the way so nobody could get through. And then I ran over to her and panicked, tried to shake her. Wake her up. No, I didn't. See, that's what we do with problems. We panic. It doesn't help. So I walked over to this woman, and I said, quietly, I'm Tim, are you okay? Can you hear me? And what had happened is she had stepped off a curb that was actually quite deep. It wasn't a normal curb. Stumbled and fallen face first. She was still conscious, but she couldn't get up. She couldn't move. And because I came with her in a calm stance, she could relax. I said, don't worry, my truck's in front of us. Nobody's going to hit you. And she could calmly lay there. And I wasn't going to move her because I didn't know. Did she have a back injury? Did something happen? So you don't move people right away when they're seemingly injured. And then eventually the fire guys and paramedics came and took care of her. And see the difference in that kind of situation? Panic or calm? What did she need? Calm. My oldest son and I were building our shed in our place in Steinbeck. And I built the rafters, and he was up there with his air nailer and putting it back together. And all of a sudden he goes, oh no. I go, what's going on? I just shot my thumb with the nail from the air nailer. I said, oh no! What do you, like, come on down. Yeah, I'll just finish nailing a couple more things and then I'll come down. And we dealt with it, pulled it out, put peroxide. Now he's a paramedic. Do you want that as a paramedic? Do you want a panicking paramedic or firefighter? You want somebody that's calm. everyone. So we want to be stop, take a breath, appreciate Jesus, and respond in love and in peace. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand, and His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. He'll guard your hearts and minds. It'll take over and protect your heart and your mind from worry and anxiety and fear and lack of peace. That's what we want. Interesting that the Apostle Paul, when he wrote these verses, any of you remember where Paul was when he wrote the book of Philippians? Anybody remember? He was in jail. In Acts chapter 16, it talks about him and Silas being in jail. That's one of the previous times. And they were beaten, and then they were thrown in jail. Now, the jail of the first century is nothing like the jails of today. The jails back then were horrendous. And at the time of this writing, this book, which often the book of Philippians is called the joy book, is full of joy, he's writing. He could write because he was in prison at the time of this writing, and he was experiencing joy and peace. He didn't know if he'd live or die. Eventually, he died outside of prison, but he didn't know in the middle of prison whether he'd get fed. He didn't know if he'd have anybody to come and visit with him. He didn't know if anything good could come of this. And how many times it talks about in 1 Thessalonians where he was shipwrecked, and he was other times starving, other times he had lots of food. He was attempted stoned to death with big rocks, and they left him for dead. All kinds of problems that he went through. And he went through probably more than any of us would ever go through. And he talks about the peace of God. Now, is the Apostle Paul in La La Land? No. He went through so much, you'd either become in La La Land and never survive, or he actually walked through peace all through his life experience. And that's why he himself could talk about peace. So as we wrap this up, whether you're parenting and struggling in parenting, whether there's different things going on in your life, the invitation, whatever conflict is going on, looking for peace, looking for calm, looking for all kinds of things in your life, the invitation is to come to God and say, God, this is what's going on in my life. This is what I'm feeling. Write it down. And then ask Him for His peace. And He will bring calm and reflection and quietness. He says further on, I like how he writes this down. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Shifting our thinking, not on La La Land, but shifting our thinking. And the verse later, it ends with, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. So application, reflection for this week. Being Father's Day, family, I want to encourage us to be grateful for your parents. Kids, say to your mom and dad, your grandma and grandpas, your great-grandparents, thank you. Thank you for being in my life. And sometimes that can be a struggle as we think about our older parents, but just look for those things, those good things, to encourage. My dad's been gone for 28 years, as I mentioned. And sometimes what I've done over the years is I've just written a letter. Some people go to the graveside, and that's good to do, to just be able to connect again and enjoy that. And then number three, make amends while there is time. You and I know there's too many relationships that are not resolved. There's too many relationships that have pain. And I give this as a warning and an encouragement to make amends where we can and where we should. There's Thursday coming up. I'll be in Steinbach officiating a funeral for a couple, for a man that I knew, met for many years. And he passed away this last Friday. He was only 66. Healthy. And for some reason, they think sudden heart attack. He passed away. Suddenly. And I was with the family on Wednesday night for a good 2.5 hours, just visiting with them. As they brought back together the memories and all those kind of things. And I remember Ken. He was a good man. He loved Jesus. Loved his family. But he's gone too soon. And I want to encourage us. You never know. That's not a threat. That's just life and death in this life. And I encourage us, wherever we can, however we can, make amends. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you're with us. Pray that you would help us in all of life's things. Especially this morning, we think about parenting and about our parents. We pray that you will help and encourage. We thank you for this good day. And we praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen.